God wants us to be happy. Do you ever think of it that way very much? Like as you're going through your life and your day, that God wants me to be happy? And not just the pleased for a moment kind of happy, but truly happy. And that's what Jesus' Beatitudes are all about. The Beatitudes are really Jesus' signature homily that kind of put him on the map. It's all about how to be happy. That's what the word that they're using, and we translate as blessed, but you know, every translation is also a betrayal. You just can't quite get it across when you do a translation. But it means happy. Makarios is the word, the Greek word that Jesus has used. You're happy. If you want to be happy, do these things. Be poor in spirit. Mourn. Be meek. That is, learn to handle your anger and properly direct it. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do merciful things. Have a pure heart. Work to make peace. Suffer for what you believe. If you're experiencing these things, you will truly be happy, is what Jesus is saying. Sometimes, though, I think we don't really trust God's plan for happiness. How many of us yell at people in an argument when they aren't hearing us? When things don't go our way? Or when we really want something and we aren't getting it? How many of us yell at that moment? Instead of being meek. How many of us really contribute to peacemaking in our relationships and how to make our relationships better by the peace we choose to bring there by doing extra chores without being asked or by trying to understand another person's point of view? Or do we just kind of blow up at them and cause strife? It sometimes seems to me like we're a little bit like Betty White in those Snickers commercials. You didn't watch those Snickers commercials? There's somebody out there and they're like, hey, you're just really complaining a lot. Have a Snickers, man. And it's a picture of Betty White and he takes a picture of Betty White or takes a bite of the Snickers bar. And all of a sudden it's not Betty White, it's himself. And they were acting differently because they didn't have what they needed. They needed a little bit of food. They needed a little bit of energy. And do you experience that kind of when you're too tired, you're a little too short with people? When you're a little too hungry, you tend to act up. And maybe it's your blood sugar level. Maybe it's whatever. But we tend to do that when we're not getting what we really need. We act differently. We get all irritable and beyond what we want when we're not getting what we need. But God wants us to be happy. And it's these times when we're poor in spirit, mourning and meek, and all these beatitudes that we are truly be happy in, even if it exhausts us. Think of Mother Teresa. As she goes out there and serves the poorest of the poor every day, at the end of the day, she had struggles of her own spiritual life. She had struggles with, like, I'm exhausted. But I bet she went to bed and slept well every night. Because she went out and did these things. Jesus knows what's going to make us happy. And that's why he preaches this to us. And these are the things that are going to make us truly happy. And in my own examination of conscience that I try to do every day, I'm getting really good at getting better at that. And I've been learning to trust God more through that. And I'm able to better recognize and even acknowledge my faults. Kind of like what it says in the second reading today. Not many of you are wise, not many of you are this. I'm beginning to think I'm less and less awesome than I used to think, but that God still loves me because he uses the weak of the world to shame the strong. But what I'm really poor at is doing the things that I need to do in order to change. To do what God knows will make me happy. So kind of like in the first reading where they're talking about the being working for justice and for being humble. And it's kind of like Deacon Chad's homily last week. He's like, is this the call of God for me? Was that God speaking to me? As God calls us, I know I need to be more humble. I'm just not willing to humble myself. I know I need to take refuge in the Lord, and I clearly see that. I acknowledge it. I can see times when I'm like, nope, I tried to do that on my own and not take refuge in the Lord. But I still focus on my own strengths, and I don't stop, and I don't pray before that hard thing. And that whole part about do no wrong to your neighbor and speak no lies, yet I still gossip. And I still complain. It's kind of hard to watch your tongue sometimes. You guys have any of that struggle ever? Just me? Couple of honest souls out there. But it's not because we're so bad, but it is kind of hard to do the things that we know that we need to do to make us happy. And the reason that is, my brothers and sisters, is because it's a spiritual battle. It's tough to live a life of virtue. It's tough to always choose grace, especially when we don't have a habit of it. And when we get in a habit of constantly looking for the Lord, of constantly relying on His strength, and constantly doing what He tells us will make us happy, it gets easier. It's kind of like in the home. Mom and dad say, just clean off the table and set the table for dinner. And we don't do it. And then mom and dad come back and they say, clean off the table and set the table. We're going to have dinner here. And we'd rather do whatever it is we're doing. And then we're shocked and surprised that mom and dad are upset at us. And if we would just do it, it would not only make our lives better, but it would make the whole family better. I guarantee mom and dad aren't sitting in bed every night, what's one way we can yell at our kids tomorrow? I know, let's pick the table. That's it. No, that's not what parents are all about. But parents, my guess is that you don't do that every night. But my guess is that maybe you do yell every night to clean the table or clean the room or brush your teeth or go to bed or do your homework or whatever it is. It's a spiritual battle. And for those of you that are reading the Lamb's Supper book that we gave away for Christmas, this is the last part of it. And there's these last chapters were super awesome. If you haven't read the book yet, I highly encourage you to. It's worth it to read it all. But these last chapters were super great, and I can't condense it all into a somewhat reasonably length homily. So I'm just going to focus on one point. And Scott Hahn focused on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. He said the devil is represented in the book of Revelation by the number, you probably already know it, 666. You kind of always heard that with the devil. That's a bad number. We don't want to know 666 on us. And he says it's because the devil is constantly at the sixth day, never going to the seventh. Constantly working, but never going to the Sabbath rest. He misses the Lord's day. And my fear, brothers and sisters, is that's us. We're constantly working, but never resting. And God, in His infinite wisdom, knew that we needed rest. God wasn't tuckered out after 6 days. He's infinite. A person with infinite strength never gets weaker. With infinite stamina, never runs out of it. He knew we needed it. And so He gave us the Sabbath day so that, because He knew we needed a day that where we could be devoted to Him. Devoted to Him alone. So that we could be restored. So that we could be happy. Think about your worst moments. The times when you like blow up. Are you overtired in those moments? Have you not been eating healthy foods in those moments? Are you overstressed in those moments? Think about your best moments where it's maybe a chaotic situation, but you did the right thing. Did you have a better perspective in that moment? Did you clearly know what you wanted to do in that moment? Is that what helped you? See, the Lord knew we needed these things, and that's why He gave us the Sabbath day, and that's why He gives us the Mass. In the Mass, we enter into heaven. In the Mass, we get that Sabbath rest. In the Mass, heaven comes to us to restore us to what we were always supposed to be. But we often choose to work. And I know it's super hard. Our society does not recognize the Sabbath day anymore. And I know you got CYO games. CYO. For those of you who don't know, Catholic. On Sundays, when? At Mass time, of course. I know you have entertainment plans. And sometimes we come to Mass half-heartedly, or late, or ill-prepared, and we get nothing out of it. This is the spiritual battle. Again, that's not because we're so bad. But think about the most basic military strategy. If you are fighting an enemy and they have a supply of goods and strength that are keeping them strong on the front lines, rather than keep fighting a strong front line, what you're going to do is try to cut the weak link of the supply. And if you can cut the supply, they'll be strong for a little bit, but you know what? They'll taper out. They won't be getting any new reinforcements. They won't be getting any new weapons. They won't be getting any new food. They'll get tired. They'll give up. That's what the devil does with us. When he tries to take away our Sabbath rest, when he tries to disconnect us from Christ in the Mass, when he tries to disconnect us from the Eucharist, it's just the basic spiritual battle. So how do we be happy? How can we live the lives of happiness that God has for us? Come to Mass. Come to Mass wholeheartedly. Come to Mass and rest. And not just Mass. Give God that Sabbath day. Maybe don't go shopping on Sunday, because that would be somewhat of work. The Sabbath day should be something where we could be totally devoted to God and our family. And yes, we might have a party with our family for like a birthday. That's not work. That's restorative. That's restoring our relationships. The Eucharist is God's very presence. It's heaven's strength. It's where we encounter the one who really was poor in spirit, the one who really did mourn, who was meek, who hungered and thirsted for righteousness, who did merciful things, who had a pure heart, who worked for peace, who suffered for what he believed. And he's happy. Mass is where we taste the happiness of heaven. I know it's a month away, but Lent is coming up. One of my spiritual directors told me, tomorrow starts the night before. Tomorrow starts the night before. If you want to have a good day tomorrow, make your plan and go to bed tonight. If you're shocked that you slept through your alarm and didn't take your prayer time in the morning, it's probably because you didn't set it or that you went to bed too late. So start the night before. I just want to put it a bug in your ear, a thought in your heart of what you might like to do for Lent. Maybe you'll want to do something that will help you to be truly happy. Maybe you'll want to do something that helps you to connect to the Mass. You'll know what to do. Jesus sets us out today on the path to happiness. Let's follow him.